This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us this morning. Throwback Thursday. We got a good one for you. Maybe bring out the inner youth in all of you. Got a good one on Throwback Thursday because it's a special person's birthday, and we'll be celebrating that birthday throughout the show today. But we are also going to talk about NBA free agency because that starts tonight. We're going to get into some details of what has actually been going on leading up to tonight when free agency kicks off. Now, look, every sport that we love has a free agency period, and, you know, it's exciting if you are very interested in seeing how that sport is going to look as it goes into its next season. You know, we love NFL free agency, and then there's the hot stove league in the wintertime for Major League Baseball. But I got to say, I think the NBA free agency carries a little bit more weight because in the NFL, you can get a new linebacker, but your fortunes may not change that much because you still may struggle at the quarterback position, or you may still have an offense where you're not really scoring a ton of points, or you could beef up an offense that was already good and still struggle defensively. But in the NBA, because five guys on the court and one guy can change a lot of the dynamics of what your team is doing, this is where things can happen that can give fans a lot of hope. And so what you're going to see tonight is those that are invested in free agency going out, getting deals, signing max deals, whatever it is. But don't forget about the guys who did not opt in and opted out, but are going to re-sign with the team for a little bit more, you know, getting a couple of years on a deal, but giving that team some cap space to pursue other avenues. We've already saw one trade. It happened yesterday. DeJounte Murray of the San Antonio Spurs is going to the Atlanta Hawks for Danilo Gallinari and three first-round picks. And for the Hawks, this is a message that they want to send to their new fan base, got a new general manager, in which is, do not think our run to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago was a fluke. It was not. We really do believe we have a solid team. We just didn't do some things last season that allowed us to make a good, strong run in the playoffs. That is sending a message to your fans. Well, how about the Knicks? Because they're pursuing Jalen Brunson, freeing up some money to land the Dallas Maverick when he hits free agency. We'll talk about that, plus some other news and notes around the NBA as it gets ready for a big night tonight as free agency kicks off. Plus, we have a special birthday and Throwback Thursday. It's coming up on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And happy Throwback Thursday to you. We are celebrating the birthday of Superman. On this date, 1938, the cover-dated issue of Action Comics number 1 featured the legendary character. He, of course, would become one of the most synonymous and most important superheroes of all time, appearing in a bunch of movies, TV shows, and, of course, all sorts of comic books and different versions of comic books and different versions of Superman. But it was on this date in 1938, a June cover-dated issue of Action Comics featured Superman. So happy birthday, Superman, and happy birthday, Clark Kent, I guess.
Yeah.
Kal-El.
Kal-El.
Kal-El, so happy birthday.
Not Nick Cage's son, Kal-El.
I think the best description of Superman and Clark Kent I ever heard was delivered in Kill Bill. Remember that when he was talking to Uma Thurman?
Yes.
And he was saying about how all these other superheroes, Bruce Wayne is Batman, Peter Parker is Spider-Man, but only Superman is Clark Kent, the disguise. He's really Superman. It's Clark Kent that's his alter ego. Everybody else, it was Spider-Man was the alter ego to Peter Parker. Batman was the alter ego to Bruce Wayne. But only Superman was Superman. That's his clothes. That's what he said in the movie. That's his clothes. And Clark Kent was the disguise. He wasn't really Clark Kent. I never thought of it that way, but I thought that was pretty smart. Way to go, Quentin Tarantino, throwing that in there. So happy birthday, Superman.
Is he the most important superhero out of all? Like, you know, You know, for me, I'm personally, I'm more of a Marvel fan than DC, you know,
right.
As far as the recent movies go. But is Superman, like, you know, thinking back to your childhood, is he the greatest superhero ever?
I think he is. I think he's the biggest superhero of all the superheroes ever. Because, one, he's been in the public eye for a long time. Marvel, relatively new. I mean, it's not 1930s new, but it's relatively new. I don't know the art of creating superheroes, but they literally broke the mold with this guy because he's invincible.
Right.
Like, he could do anything.
Except for a shiny green rock.
Like, he doesn't have, outside of that, he's got no inability to do stuff. He can fly. He can melt things with his eyes. He's got X-ray vision. He can blow a hurricane. He can stop an asteroid. I mean, it doesn't matter. And in the Superman, the movie with Christopher Reeve, he can reverse the Earth's rotation to go back in time. So it's literally anything he wants to do. So, after that, you go, all right, anybody else that's got, like, when I was a kid, I watched Super Friends. Remember Super Friends?
Of course.
Bum, ba-da-da, bum, 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 ba-da. Ted Knight was the guy that did the voice for the, you know, Hall of Justice, Superman, Batman, and Robin. That was Ted Knight who did that voiceover. Nevertheless, I watched Super Friends, and I'm a kid. You know, I'm 7, 8 years old, and I'm watching Super Friends, and I knew immediately Superman was the boss of all of them. Like, you could just tell in the way it worked, the hierarchy of the Justice League, that Superman was the boss. He was kind of the center of attention. So happy birthday, Superman, on this Throwback Thursday. So we're going to do superhero music?
Words with superheroes, Superman, heroes,
All right.
a bunch of different ones. Some songs you may never heard of, and some songs you're like, my God, I can't believe that I forgot about that song.
Absolutely. So happy birthday.
At least that's the hope you forgot about these songs.
Yeah. We try to mix it up on Throwback Thursday because we were going to do, today was the day that skating, the International Skating Federation, suspended Tonya Harding. But we decided not to do it. We decided to celebrate Superman's birth, at least on Action Comics 1 back in 1938. So there you have it.
And then there was others, like, you know, the most recent one.
Yeah.
And we were just like, it's too new.
Yeah, too new. 2019.
Yeah, it's too
Kyrie
new.
Irving, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan joining the Brooklyn Nets. Going to win all the titles. They were
all
win
the titles.
All the titles. They were going to win everything, and the NBA was going to basically be their little fun playground of championships back in 2019. So, that was just a little too new. But Superman, this should be fun. We should be fun with the superheroes. All right, so NBA free agency starts tonight. And I was saying earlier, look, free agency in any sport. If you're a huge NFL fan, you love the NFL free agency. You love the but NFL free agency is a little different than the NBA. While it's not hard to be a free agent in the league, they do make it a little bit more difficult for players who are excellent to be on the market. But the NBA, it happens all the time. Big stars, big names are freed at various points. They can opt in on the final year of their contract. Some do and some don't, and then they become a free agent. We saw James Harden yesterday. He opted out of the final year of his contract with the Philadelphia 76ers, one that was carried in from Brooklyn. But the reports are he's just going to re-sign with Philadelphia for a pretty good deal that would help Philadelphia sort of break free and actually be a little bit more cap-friendly to them. So it's going to be a long-term deal, which is what you want to do because, look, nobody wants to opt in to a one-year deal, even if it makes you a free agent on the other end, if you know you can get some strong money and guaranteed money getting a longer-term deal. So that's what happened here. It's more of a formality for the Sixers. James Harden is declining $47.3 million. He becomes a free agent. But, again, likely just to renegotiate a long-term deal with the Sixers. It becomes a roster-friendly cap, you know, like money. There's going to be some money there for Philadelphia to sort of help build around him. But you've got a guy like Bobby Portis, for example, of the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, he declined a $4.6 million option. He's going to be a free agent. But Milwaukee can re-sign him to somewhere between $11 and $12 million. Now, One of the things I was talking about yesterday was that I was talking about it earlier today. What happened yesterday was DeJounte Murray was traded from San Antonio to the Atlanta Hawks, and the Hawks give up Danilo Gallinari and three first round picks, including an unprotected pick that they got from Charlotte. So if you're Atlanta, and this is what I like this, by the way, for the Hawks, because I think there's too much emphasis a lot of times in the future. We talk about this a lot in the NFL, where the Rams had draft picks and just said, no more. You know what? We're giving them away. We want players we know that can play. We love the draft. Don't get us wrong, but we really want players that can play. We know that can play and know that will fit into our system. And we're willing to sacrifice the future for the short term gain. The Atlanta Hawks are kind of doing that, because if this falls apart and Murray doesn't work well with the Hawks and they still struggle on things that they struggled with this past season, then this actually becomes a problem for Atlanta down the road, because they're sending three first-round picks and a future pick swap for Murray along with Danilo Gallinari. Now, Atlanta made it to the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. Not last season, but the season before. So basically a year ago. And so people were wondering, where did this come from? I mean, obviously, if they want the more dynamic player in Trae Young, but where did it come from? And can you sustain it? Sometimes teams just get on magical runs in the postseason, and boom, next thing you know, there's a high expectation that you really honestly can't meet. You're not that good. You just caught a team napping or whatever in the playoffs, or some matchup worked well for you, and next thing you know, you're advancing and advancing. And the Hawks had it stalled out in their playoff series with Milwaukee, but a lot of people thought, oh, this is Trae Young's team. Look, they may have turned the corner. They could be a force in the East. But last year, they weren't. They barely got into the postseason, beat Cleveland in the play-in game, and then were out by the Miami Heat in the first round. Trae Young is still Trae Young, but the thing that hurt Atlanta a lot last season is they played no defense. They were a terrible, terrible, terrible defensive team. DeJounte Murray plays defense, and this is a backcourt now that features two guys that average over 20 points and 8 assists per game. But Murray plays defense. He's one of the staunch defenders at the guard position. That's why Atlanta made this move. Now, could they have used picks down the road? Yeah. To find a guy that plays good, sure, but not on the level of DeJounte Murray, who, again, is an all-star and as a guy that can give you 20 points and 8 assists a night. So Atlanta, again, sacrificing the future for the short-term gain. Why would they do that? Because there's currency in getting to the Eastern Conference Finals that you need to cash in on. You do something like that, where you've got a young player, a superstar in Trae Young, and you set the city on fire by getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then the next year you barely get into the playoffs through the play-in tournament. You don't want that enthusiasm for what you're building to go by the wayside, because you know your flaws. Atlanta wasn't going to be good next year because they weren't going to get better defensively. It wasn't that Trae Young wasn't scoring enough, or there was so many injuries that plagued the team. Yeah, they had dealt with injuries, of course. Every team did so. They were not a good defensive team, and they weren't going to get better. Now they're going to get better. So is it worth the three first-round picks and a Danilo Gallinari contract that's, you know, not really valuable to Atlanta? Yeah, I guess. Sure. I mean, NBA first-round picks are extremely important, but I think getting a guy like DeJounte Murray is going to be valuable to the Atlanta Hawks. But again, tonight is going to be interesting, because there are going to be players that are not going to re-sign with their teams, that are going to be on the move. Jalen Brunson of the Dallas Mavericks is one of them. He's very, very likely going to sign with the Knicks. The Knicks freed up cap space, sending a bunch of players to Detroit in an effort to free up the $19 million that they were going to need to offer a deal down the road for Jalen Brunson, who, by the way, was the 33rd pick in the NBA draft a couple of years ago by the Mavericks, and has emerged as a very important member of the Mavericks in their run to the Western Conference Finals this past season. But the Knicks, it's a family affair. I mean, he's got his dad's on the staff. His dad's agent is running the team. I mean, there's all sorts of connections that Jalen Brunson has with the Knicks. But they made the move to get him, and they want to get him. So tonight's the night we're going to start seeing these kind of moves. All right, we'll continue to talk about that as we continue on a Throwback Thursday. If you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, please do, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, as we continue on Wake Up Call.
This This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, how is this superhero related?
My hero.
My hero? Wonderful. Okay. I'm going to have to ask you because I don't know some of these songs. But yeah, very good. I like where you're going with this. All right, today is the birthday of Superman. He appeared on Action Comics. It was dated on this date. I think it was published before, but nevertheless, it had the date. So today is Superman's birthday. So congratulations to him. I don't know how, Superman doesn't die, right? So is he still kicking around?
He's got to be. Does he age?
Does he age? I don't think he ages.
Maybe he ages slower than the rest of us. I don't know.
It reminds me of a great Twilight Zone episode where there was this history teacher, and one of his colleagues looked at a picture of the Civil War, and it was like, this guy looks just like this guy. And then he started doing a little background checks, and he realized that this guy bounced around, and the guy basically admitted, he goes, listen, I'm immortal. I don't die. I have to bounce around. I've lived forever. I get married. I watch my spouse die. I don't age. And I just have to bounce around to different places where people don't know me. Maybe that's Superman down the road. It's just like Clark Kent. Everyone's getting old in the Daily Planet. And everyone's like, Clark, you still look 35. What's going on? I'm 62. I'm about ready to retire. How do you do it? And he's like, I don't know.
Creams
and exfoliating the skin.
Ancient Chinese recipe. Yeah.
Because they can't figure out he's Superman because he wears glasses. You ever seen a person wear glasses and then they take the glasses off and you're like, oh my God, you look like a totally different person.
All the time.
Right? Oh my, somebody has glasses and they get contacts. Like, I don't recognize you. Who are you? I don't understand. There's something missing. Are you sure you're who you say you are? You can't possibly be that person.
Yeah, I mean, you turn around and you go, wow, where did you come from?
Yeah.
When did you get here? God, have you been here the entire time?
Lois Lane's an investigative reporter. She can't figure out Clark Kent, Superman. She did in the movie, though. She figured it out in the movie. Yeah, she figured it out in Superman 2. Do you remember? She went to, they went to Niagara Falls for a story.
But she found, I can't remember that scene.
So what happened was they were at Niagara Falls for a story. Her and Clark were doing a story on Niagara Falls.
But weren't they posing as a couple?
Yeah, they were posing as a couple. And there was a little boy, and he was playing on the fence. He's basically on the edge of Niagara Falls.
Right, yeah.
And he falls, and Clark disappears, becomes Superman, saves the boy. And he says, And she's looking for Clark, because Clark was right there. Clark was right there, and now, then he's gone, here's Superman. And then Superman leaves, and Clark comes back with a drink or
a
lemonade or something, whatever it was. And she was like, Superman was just here. And he's like, Superman, where? And then she starts to figure out this, right? Yeah. So she then goes to, she knows he's Superman, but she's trying to prove it. So she jumps in to the water, but he doesn't turn to Superman to save her. He uses his beam, heat vision, to knock a branch off a tree so that she could cling onto that while she's being whisked away by the rapids. But he never turns into Superman. But it wasn't until later they were back in the hotel and he trips and his hand goes right into the fire.
Right.
It was like a fire pit. And his hand falls right into the fire and she shakes. Oh, she's freaking out because he's burned himself. He pulls out and there's nothing. And then he finally takes off his glasses and he goes, yeah, I'm Superman. That's how she figures it out.
Didn't he drop when he came back with the drink or whatever it was, didn't he drop a golly?
I think so. I can't remember.
Like golly, he was here?
Yeah. Golly, he's here? Yeah, I think he did.
Because, I mean, I know we'll make fun of Superman, but, I mean, his alter ego was such a dork.
A dork.
God, he was clumsy.
Yeah.
I mean, he did everything he could to go out of his way to I'm not a hero. Look at me.
And and his Superman alter ego was just this magnificent person.
Yeah.
I still think, I think the music, the John Williams music is great. It's so great.
Yeah.
And even though it was made in the 70s, I still love both movies. I like Superman 1 and 2. 3 I didn't really quite dig. 4 stunk. But 1 and 2 are just brilliant movies.
I choose to forget 4.
Forget 4. For Quest for Peace.
But 1 and 2, I mean, they were
1 and 2 are great.
They were fantastic.
Man, it's the first time, it takes a long time for Superman to come on the on the screen, like in the original movie. It takes a while because he's got to, you know, Marlon Brando is doing his thing, and then they got to blow up Krypton, and then he's got to travel through space. He's got to, his father on Earth has to die of the heart attack, and he's got to go up to the solitude, and then he's got to do all that stuff. But the moment he makes it's so great. She's Lois Lane's like hanging by a seatbelt when the helicopter crashes on top of that building, and he runs, and he doesn't change in a phone booth. He changed in a revolving door. Remember, like the old, he looked at a phone booth and then was like, no. And then he went in a revolving door. And I remember that guy was like hanging out. He goes, "Hey man, that is one outfit." And he goes, "Excuse me." And he shoots straight up. They go, "Whoa." And then he saves her. And then that's how Superman comes
on
the
scene.
And
she drops the line like, "You got me."
Yeah.
Well, who's got you?
But in Superman 2, when Superman, Clark gives up his powers and he has to go back and get his powers, and Zod's kind of taken over and he's at the Daily Planet, and that moment where he arrives, like they build up the music, like where Superman's going to, he's showing up to fight. He's going to fight these guys, the villains of Krypton. But the people in New York are looking up. They feel a wind. They don't know what's going on. And they just feel it, and you just dun 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 dun. And he shows up, and he goes, "General, care to step outside?" And then that, boom, all three of them get in a big fight where nobody dies, apparently. The whole city is just standing around watching.
They're all fine.
They're all fine. And that one guy, that one New Yorker that looks up and he goes, "This is going to be good." And then Gene Hackman is Lex Luthor. He's sitting in the Daily Planet, and they're like, "Kill him." He goes, "Kill me? Kill Lex Luthor?" He goes, and then Superman shows up, and he goes, "Oh, Superman, thank God." He goes, "I mean, get him." Gene Hackman was great.
Gene Hackman's the only one left, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't remember the actor that played Jimmy Olsen.
I don't either.
I don't know if he's still kicking, he's but everyone else is.
Everyone else.
Unfortunately passed.
That's right. That's right.
A little sad.
That is sad. That is sad. Those were really, really
good. But they
were,
I mean, they were such, and you know, I mean, it's, when you think about the technology back then,
yeah,
it looks really good.
Right,
when Superman's flying around, and you know, I mean, I don't know if it's
for 1978.
Yeah,
yeah, it's great. It's great.
You know, it doesn't look phony.
Yeah,
for even back for 1970. I mean, obviously, you know, they do a much better job now, but it didn't look phony then. It looked believable.
It really did, but these last reiterations of Superman come in dreary. The Henry Cavill, is that his name?
Yeah.
Is that his name? I don't know the actor's name. But he just plays a depressed Superman. I feel like he's not happy.
Well, I didn't really mind Man of Steel too much.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
But the other ones where, you know, it's like Batman versus Superman and, you know,
and
Justice League.
It just seemed like he was sad.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't, you know. It was almost like, I'm going to save these people.
And I don't know. I mean, I'm on the fence about Aquaman. I like the new version of Aquaman, but I like our version of Aquaman as well.
I do. I know.
Like, all he does is talk to fish. He doesn't
just
do anything
talk to
else.
Fish. Does nothing. Save me.
No powers.
I'm riding a dolphin. Can't quite.
Here, let me get the
nothing I can do.
Let me get the whale to throw you a lifeline, because I obviously can't.
Maybe I'll send some starfish your way. Maybe they can help you with that problem. Yeah, no doubt. But I will say that one thing I have to say about Superman is that I think it's a superhero like a lot of them that people will. It's like Batman. There's always going to be somebody with a different take on it, and there's always going to be movies. Like, it's just going to last forever. There's just I always ask this question every time there's a new Batman movie. I go, aren't we just kind of sick of this? But apparently we're not sick of it. You know what I mean? Like, we just get a new one, and maybe down the road they throw this at the movie screen again, and people go, yeah, I just like superhero movies, whether it was the Marvel movies and the Avenger movies or the Batman movies or whatever. People just tend to like it. So on this date, Throwback Thursday, we celebrate his first appearance in June of 1938. All right, coming up, more on the NBA and some SEC football next.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we go on a Throwback Thursday, celebrating the birthday of Superman in 1938, appearing on a Action Comics. NBA free agency tonight. I love this time of year, though, for the NBA. I really do. It is so fun. There's so many things that are going to happen over the next couple of days.
Well, and I wish other leagues would adopt this, too.
Yeah.
The moratorium period.
Right. Exactly.
That's because where all the craziness is.
You're 100% correct. That's where all the craziness comes in. It's just going to be absolute free flow of information that's going to be pouring out. And it's everybody from small, you know, role players that aren't going to make much to guys that are going to be opting out of big money to look for bigger deals someplace else. And I want to get back to this Jalen Brunson thing because, again, Brunson was the 33rd pick in the NBA draft. You know how much money he made last season for Dallas? He made $1.8 million. $1.8 million. That guy is about ready to make about 15 times that amount of money going to the New York Knicks. And that's what can happen if you find your right place where you develop. Now, look, here's the situation. Mark Cuban wants Jalen Brunson on the team. And Dallas they can match this. It's kind of complicated. You got to get into sort of the details a little bit. But Dallas can match this. They hold his bird rights, so they can pay him more money and more years than New York. But here's what New York is trying to do. New York is trying to free up so much money. They like Jalen Brunson so much that they are trying to free up so much money that even Cuban will go, nah, good luck. Good luck, kid. Have a good time. Because one thing Dallas that Mark Cuban doesn't like doing, even despite the fact that he's a billionaire and all that, is that he doesn't like to pay any luxury tax. He doesn't like doing that. They haven't done that in over about 10 years. So Brunson is about ready to get super paid. I mean, super paid. And it's just, you know, 25 years old, coming out of Villanova. And this is going to be a great deal for him. Now, I will agree. I heard Michael Wilbon say this yesterday, and I kind of agree with him. And I like Wilbon, but you know, you all know how he feels sometimes when he's on that. You know, everybody's his friend. He likes to do that bit. But he said something really interesting because he was talking about, of course, how he knows Jalen Brunson's family and he's been watching Jalen Brunson because he's a Chicago kid forever and whatnot, and he loves him and whatnot. But he made a very good point. This is going to get seen once this deal is done. This is going to be, you know, excitement is going to be in New York because they got Jalen Brunson. But really, I mean, he made a really good point. Patrick Ewing couldn't do it, right? Carmelo Anthony couldn't do it. Bernard King couldn't do it. All of a sudden, Jalen Brunson's the answer. When you're talking about a franchise that hasn't won an NBA championship in 50 years, Jalen Brunson's going to be the answer. That's what they need. If you're a Knicks fan, you need a lot more than that. A lot more than that. And the Knicks are going head over heels for this guy. Head over heels for him. Which, again, solid player. Proved his worth in the NBA. I'm not taking that away from him. No doubt. I mean, the Dallas Mavericks wouldn't have gotten to the Western Conference Finals without him. Remember, I kept saying all that time, remember? All through their series, I said, Luka's Luka, but you need guys to step up. It needed to be Dorian Finney-Smith. It needed to be Jalen Brunson. It needed to be Max Kiebler. It needed to be anybody else on that team that was going to have to step up and produce. It couldn't be Luka because they were going to play Luka, and he could get 40, but they could still lose. And Brunson was the guy that got them over the hump and got them to the Western Conference Finals, got them past the Phoenix Suns. It was his play at various points in that series, along with Luka doing what Luka does, that was that catapulted them past Phoenix and into the finals where they played Golden State. Now, albeit they lost in five, but nevertheless, Brunson was extremely important. So he has earned what the Knicks are going to get him, but he's not going to be he's not the savior. There's no way an organization that had Bernard King, Patrick Ewing, Carmelo Anthony, and got nowhere near the NBA Finals. Although, albeit, I shouldn't say that because Patrick Ewing was part of two runs in the NBA Finals. But nevertheless, championship. Although John Starks clunking it off the rim in Game 7 of the 94 Finals really did them in. Nevertheless, Jalen Brunson's not the answer. That's my point. is that Jalen Brunson is going to be a fantastic player, but he's not the player. And that's what happens in situations like this. And but you're right, Ron. It's just it's going to be an overflow of information and overflow of moves, and it's going to last into the night, late into the night too. You'll go to bed, you'll wake up. There'll be a whole bunch of things that'll happen tonight.
Oh
overnight.
My God!
At like 2 a.m. deals will be done.
And then the fact that it's a week long.
Yeah, right.
It's just. I mean, every single day. You have sure. There's going to be some moments where it's like, oh, this is getting boring and blah blah blah. But you know, I'll never forget. I always DeAndre Jordan, right? Was that that's who it was, who agreed to sign with the Mavs?
Yeah, right. Oh, the DeAndre. Oh my God, was that the best story?
That was the greatest thing
ever. They were trying
ever.
To find him. They were trying to find his house.
Was it? I mean, I don't know if it was Mark Cuban personally.
I remember this story, and I remember because I was doing overnights here at the network, and we were begging to find out if it was Mark Cuban personally that was like couldn't GPS this thing,
driving
up and down the street trying to find his house.
All I pictured was you know him just sticking out his head out the window like you would for a lost dog.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my goodness,
DeAndre.
And I said this, like, again, I know they wine and dine you in other leagues. I get it. But in the NBA, man, if you're a major – I saw this with Carmelo Anthony. Remember when he was with the Knicks and, he was a free agent? He ended up re-signing with the Knicks because in the end that's where the money was. And everybody said, he's going to sign with the Knicks. No one can offer him more money. The Knicks have the first right of refusal on this. They can offer him more money. They have the ability to offer more money than anybody. He's going to stay with New York. And he ended up doing that. But absolutely, Carmelo went on the trips. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Without doubt. Knowing he was going to re-sign with the Knicks. But you go where teams are going to fly you in, private jet, take you to a steakhouse, put your name on the Jumbotron, let you meet everybody within the organization, have everybody kiss your rear. And then you're like, yeah, thanks for everything. I appreciate you. Houston, off to Milwaukee. See what they'll do. You know, and it's just a whirlwind of just literally people treating you like a king.
So and that's the best part. I mean,
that's the best part.
That's why I wish they could do this with all the with each league. Each league was like, okay, you know, free agent period starts, but you can't officially sign them for a week. The other team can match the offer.
The thing that's missing in the NFL is that the mega star quarterbacks don't get to do this. Like they don't, you know, you lock in your star. Can you imagine the free agent frenzy around Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, God.
Like if he went final year of my rookie deal, I'm opting out. I'm a free agent. No franchise tag, no getting to them early. Like in year three, where you dump $500 million in their lap. None of that. Every single player can be like an NBA star and be like, yeah, I know that deal is on the table for that, but I'm out of that, and I'll be taking the tour. I mean, if Carmelo Anthony is going to get a parade pretty much thrown when he was touring around the NBA, what in God's name would NFL teams do with Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen?
God.
Want a piece? Like, instead of a key to the city, you just want land? You want, like, from 3rd Street all the way up to 72nd?
You know, think about, like, we've been talking about it all week long that, you know, the AFC has some of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
All of them are going to be coming up on their rookie deals ending soon. Can you imagine the fervor?
Right, yeah. And this is what, and the NBA does this. The NBA will have one or two mega stars that will be opting out to take the tour and then figuring out where they want to land.
I mean, what if it was... Let's see. When Trevor Lawrence came out, was that the same draft year as Justin Herbert and Tua as well?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
No. It was a year after.
No, but it was a year before.
But Joe Burrow, right? Joe Burrow came out the same year. He was the first one, and then Justin Herbert and Tua.
I think it was Joe Burrow, Herbert, and Tua.
No, because imagine all three of those being available at the same time.
Right. Oh, my God. See? Exactly. It's crazy.
I mean, Tua still needs to prove himself, but it looks like he's trending in the right direction. The other two have already been labeled bona fide, you know, definitely top 10 quarterbacks, if not top 5.
Right. Right.
Oh, God. I would love to see it.
Yeah. And so, you have stories that, like Russell Westbrook is going to exercise the option for $47 million.
Of course he is. Why wouldn't he?
He's not getting $47 million anywhere else. right? You might as well do it.
You know, and we brought it up earlier, but what are the Nets doing?
Yeah, exactly. The Nets are this is so good for the Nets because Kyrie, while he will never admit it, had to eat a little humble pie, right?
Yeah.
They told him, go find a sign and trade deal that works. Go. And he went out and he looked and then he came back and goes, you know, I think I'll take that option. And they were like, we knew it. We knew you would. Because we know what you know is that nobody wants you.
And you're
not going to play for $6 million on the exemption.
And that's what I love the most was like, I'll sacrifice. I'll make the sacrifice and, you know, I'll just play for $6 million instead of 36.
Yeah. No.
Coming out looking, trying to be a hero.
Yeah.
Speaking of heroes.
Speaking of heroes. Yeah. You think anybody in the Irving camp thought that would be a good idea? Like, this is when your agent sits you down and go, listen, I'm going to throw some cold water on you and slap you across the face. You're not playing for $6 million.
Yeah.
You're not leaving $30 million real dollars on the table.
Right.
All right. Let's not do that. Let's work this thing. You start showing up to work, stop taking personal days off for every little slight, and let's go make some money next year, whether it's with Brooklyn or anybody else.
And like you mentioned
you
before,
pay for the piddly $36 million.
With Russell Westbrook taking the option. Of course he's going to take the option. Why would you leave that money on the table?
$47 million.
But what does that mean for the Lakers?
Right, exactly.
I mean, who's going to take on that? Like, hey, you guys want to trade for Russell Westbrook? You want to take this... 47. I know he used to be worth it, but he's not really anymore. But
yeah,
we're trying. You know, LeBron wants us to get rid of him.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, LeBron, $47 million. I'm sure he ran to that piece of paper as soon as that option was on. Here's the option. Oh, yeah, give it to me. Bye. Thanks.
The video of him singing in the car.
Right.
Off key.
Yeah.
I mean, just not a care in the world. What it reminds me of, and I remember seeing this, Roger Ebert had said this once, that one of his favorite movie scenes in the movie Jerry Maguire was when I think Tom Cruise was coming back from, I can't remember, young stud quarterback. Jerry O'Connell's character.
Yeah, yeah, Kush.
Kush.
Yeah.
When he left the meeting with him and Tom Cruise is singing extremely off-key Free Fallin'.
Free Fallin', missing the words and
missing
everything.
The words. Yeah. He said that is one of the more accurate movie scenes he has ever seen.
Yeah,
because that's exactly how you be. That was Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Just not a care in the world. Just like, woo-hoo, you know, $47 million
dollars for a guy that has contributed pretty much nothing.
Except playing time, because he played more than anyone else.
That's very true. although, listen, as a Laker fan, I'm gonna ask you seriously. Before you blow this off, let me ask you seriously. Does the fact that LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook playing only 21 games together, does it give you a little bit of hope that maybe if they just played a little more, there could be something that the three of them could put together?
I'm glad you brought this up, because here's my answer to that, right?
Yeah.
It was 2019 or 2021 when we kept saying the same thing about another trio, that if they're just on the court with each other instead of the measly 7 or 8 games they played all season long, how'd that work out?
Yeah, I got you.
And I'm talking, if you don't remember, I'm talking about Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving.
They never played together.
I don't know. I mean, I like LeBron. I was excited LeBron put on a Lakers uniform. Hey, they got a title in the bubble. Still hard to do. I think LeBron is, at this point, is almost poison.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah, it's not going to be good. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with 2 N's. We continue. Don't forget, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up as well as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're doing superhero, Superman themed songs today.
Well, this song is called Superman.
It's called Superman. This is like Superman if he was like just no one to talk to and just sad. Yeah. Five for Fighting. What year was this? Do you remember?
Oh,
2000?
2000 something.
Yeah, it was something like that. Really early 2000.
Sometime in the aughts.
Sometime in the aughts. Superman's birthday today appeared on Action Comics. The cover date was this date in 1938.
It's actually a good spin, too, if you think about it. Like, Superman is... He just does all this hero saving and, like,
no social life. You know what?
Nobody wants to buy him a beer.
One of the things... I think that with the superhero genre, the one thing that's fascinating... And again, so I know it's all fantasy, but it's amazing to me how superheroes, the good ones, they never turn bad. They never get disgruntled. They never get upset. They never get ego. They just go, like Superman never goes, I am so tired of this. I can't, you people are idiots. Why are you dangling off cliffs and why am I saving half of you? Like, and just going, you know what? I could take over this whole planet with a piece of cake. You can't kill me. And
that
I'm just going to do it.
That was one of the things that I liked about Hancock.
Yeah. I mean, right.
The movie itself was eh. But just the fact that here's a superhero that nobody appreciates.
Right.
In and out of jail. But he also realized, like, I could be evil with my stuff, too. This is fun.
You get, when you're a kid, you're like, I wish I could be Superman. And then if you could have been Superman, you'd be an adult Superman just hating everybody that you have to save constantly because they never learn their lesson. Well, that's kind of depressing. Nevertheless, it's Wake Up Call.